To Philippians, and we got into chapter number 4, and we were talking about some of the things that you see there, and there are several things that we found, and we're gonna look at one more thing tonight. And if you remember last week when we were looking at the things, we looked at those things that were the things of care, of anxiety, and the writing of Paul tells us that we're not to be that kind of person where we are anxious or careful, as the scripture said, that not to be careful of any of those things. So let's look at that, if you would, tonight. Again, let's just read what Paul says there in Philippians chapter number 4. And in verse number 4, he starts out like this, or we'll just start there. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned that in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, and to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Let's have a word of prayer, if you would, tonight. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you again for loving us and bringing us to this place. And I pray now, God, just be a blessing in this hour and in this time. I pray you might get honor and glory and praise out of everything that we say. And I pray again, Lord, you just have your will and your purposes performed. And we'll thank you for that. Speak to our hearts. Draw us close to you. Make us more like you. And again, we'll give you praise for all you do. In Jesus' name tonight, amen and amen. Amen. As I say, we're looking at these things. There's all kinds of things that Paul has given us here, and that he has told us and shown us. And he said there, don't be careful or care. Don't have care for anything. In other words, don't be anxious. Don't be worried about anything. Amen. I mean, that's a real key for us tonight, is to realize that we are to not have any kind of cares about this world. I mean, we're not to be anxious. We're not to be upset. We're not to be worried. We're not to be tore up. We're not to get all excited over the things that happen in this world. And you say, well, why is that? Well, you know, we talked about that a little bit last week, and we understood that in the basic end of it, God is in control of everything. And when you and I let those cares and worries interfere with that, then, you know, it shows us as far as lacking our faith or not having the assurance and the calmness and showing a testimony to this world about Him. So we're not to care for anything, but you'll notice in verse number 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but here's the real answer to all of that anxiety and worry, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. What he said is this. He said, look, you ought to be careful or be worried or be anxious about nothing, no thing. He said, but you and I ought to pray about everything. You and I ought to make everything that there is a matter of prayer. I mean, Paul talks about it throughout his writings. He tells us to cease not in prayer. He tells us to pray for each other. Jesus taught his disciples many times about prayer. Matter of fact, what we're doing on Wednesday nights, you know, we're talking about Jesus and his prayer life. So there's the idea and the issue of prayer is saturated throughout the Bible. You'll find that people prayed all the way back in the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament writings, and now today that you and I live in, men are encouraged, yeah, and exhorted to pray. So we need to understand the concept, the idea, and the power and the dynamic behind praying. So let's look at that, if you would, just for a few minutes tonight, that we are to pray about everything. Pray about everything. So I want you to look at this. First of all, let's talk about this, that our counsel to prayerfulness. We have counsel to pray about everything. That's what he said. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, when you begin to look at this, Paul is writing here and he's telling us, he said that you're to pray about everything. But then you'll notice he uses a word and says your prayer and supplication. And then he says beyond that, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He said, let your requests be made known unto God. So prayer has a lot of parts to it and a lot of things to understand about it. And the idea is the word prayer, when the word prayer is used, it's more or less what I would call a generic or a general term. Prayer is a term that means let's bring something, whatever it may be, whatever we come with before God, we're to bring it to the Lord. You're to pray. That means, as I told you here on Wednesday night, you're supposed to have some conversation with God. You're supposed to be in a place where you are communing and talking and just interacting between you and God. That's what prayer is all about. And Paul says, look, here, I want you to understand, we're supposed to pray in everything. Pray about everything. You say, now, preacher, that's ridiculous. There's some things that I shouldn't even have to pray about. Well, I'll tell you, yes, we should. Because prayer is an instrument God has given to us as Christians that it doesn't matter how insignificant it seems, nor matter how large it is, brother, we are to pray about everything. About everything. And if you want God to handle it, if you want God to be in charge of it, then you and I need to learn that we need to pray about everything. So I want you to notice when he says here that in everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. First of all, I believe he is telling us that you and I need to be intentional in our prayers. You need to pray intentionally. In other words, you need to say, God, I need to talk to you. It ought to be a matter of intention. Again, it ought to be something you plan out. It ought to be something that you bring forth. It ought to be something that you absolutely count on that you want to happen. Go before God in prayer. Oh, let me tell you, friend, there's throughout this book you find, and we'll talk about some men at different times, but man, there's folks that have done some great things, and they've done it because of prayer. I'm talking about spending times in prayer. If you remember, there's Jacob. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he wrestled with him in prayer. Now, I know it looks like to us it's just a discussion maybe between two men, but that's really a struggle and a spiritual battle in prayer. And that's what God wants me and you. Be very intentional. Now, again, you go back and you look at that when you think about Jacob. And as I say, it almost looks like it's a conversation over something that just looks like a little personal struggle. But it's actually a time of prayer. And do you know, if you'll intend and contend in this time of prayer, I'll guarantee you, friend, God will bless those things you pray about. God's looking for me and you to pray. So first of all, we need to make it intentional as we pray. But second of all, I want you to notice there's some intensity involved in our praying. Do you see where he uses the word supplication? He said, and everything by prayer and supplication. The word supplication is a word that means to fervently or intently show that you are reliant upon somebody else for an answer to something you're concerned over. And it's got a degree of intensity behind it. Now, in praying, the Lord used that same kind of thought when he talked about the little woman that went before the judge to ask for a retribution against the adversary that she had. She came to him, and if you know the story says Jesus tells a parable, and he said it was an unjust judge. In other words, he didn't care for anybody. He didn't answer to anybody. He thought he was the boss and in control. And he said, this little woman kept coming back saying, avenge me of my adversary. Avenge me. And he got wearied with it. And finally, he granted her request. And it says because of her importunity. What that means is she wouldn't give up. She kept coming back. She kept bringing it up again and again. Well, and it was in an intense kind of manner. She brought it before him and she said, I gotta have some help. Brother, that's the way you and I will learn how to pray. Now, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. It's according to maybe how close that thing is to us. But a supplication, a time of supplication, is when you have a prayer that involves intensity. I mean, when you are saying, God, I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have anybody else to turn to. I don't have any other recourse. I've got to have you to answer this prayer. And I want to tell you something, friend. We ought to start praying like that. You got somebody in your family that needs to be saved? Hey, you and I need to get down and say, God, we don't have anywhere else. There is no other hope. There is no other way. There is no other remedy for this problem. You've got to answer this prayer. And I'm bringing, I'm pleading, I'm calling, I'm begging, if you will, for the Lord to do something in this prayer. It requires some intensity. A supplication. And generally the idea of supplication has this thought with it. It's a prayer or a request or an asking between you and another party. And generally the idea is this, that the weaker party, if you were, the lesser, the less able, goes to the one that is stronger, mightier, and more able to give the answer. Can I tell you that is the fact of prayer? You and I cannot do it in and of ourselves. So we've got to turn to the Lord. I mean, you got to have it. You can't do it. I can't do it. There's so many things that you and I are so limited on, but thank God He is limitless. Amen? Jesus said those things that are impossible with men, He said they're possible with God. All things are possible with God. So, I want you to just realize that it takes some intentionality, it takes some intensity, and really, it is something that as we pray, sometimes you realize that it is an inquiry. Look what it says. It says there that you should, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Your request. You got a request? You know what we do at churches, right? I mean, Brother Ronnie starts our Sunday school call. Who's got a prayer request? I'm sure some of you others, you do that. We take them on Wednesday nights. Who's got a prayer request? It is a request. It is something that we ask. It is something that we are looking for somebody to come in. And generally, when you're coming to God, I mean, you're asking Him to do something. You are bringing this before Him and His attention, saying, God, I need your help in this issue. You right here. You're to bring your request, but aren't you glad? Paul says here, with let your request be made known unto God. It is an inquiry. God, can I request this of you? God, I'm going to request you. God, I'm here before your presence, and here is what I need. I'm making this request. It's an inquiry. I mean, you've come up and you said, I need to make a request before heaven. And doesn't that almost seem just a little bit out of character? Doesn't it seem like, well, preacher, you know, we're asking God for, I mean, do you know who God is? Yeah, I know who He is. But aren't you glad He is your Heavenly Father? Aren't you glad that Jesus said, you know, which man among you, if your son asked for, an egg, you'd give him a scorpion. Or if he asked for a fish, you'd give him this and you know, all of that. He said, then how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good good things to those that are His. God wants to give you some good stuff, but He wants me and you to ask Him. Amen. You know what Jesus said in that same stretch of teaching and preaching about that thing? He said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You and I come way short many times in our time of prayer of asking God the things that we really should go further in asking God for and about. I mean, hey, I'm telling you, you and I need to make an inquiry. It is a request of God. That's what you and I should be doing. So we have a counsel here. The counsel given to us is in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. But second of all, I want you to notice this. Not only do you see our counsel to prayerfulness, I want you to see that there's a connection here in this whole thing with thankfulness. Prayerfulness and thankfulness. Look what it says. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. You and I are to pray, and we're to pray giving God some thanks for the things that, well, just thank you, God. And there's so many things you can be thankful for, that He's God and that He's able to answer. That He's God and He has answered you in time past. And sometimes you can just be thankful that He's God. You can just be thankful that He hears you. You can be thankful that He's in heaven looking down and He's keeping everything in this world in the order that it's in. You ought to just be thankful unto God. You ought to be thankful. I'm just telling you, that's what the scriptures are telling us. There is a connection here with thankfulness and prayer. First of all, I believe this. I believe that thankfulness ought to be our attitude when we pray. I believe when you get ready to pray, you know what Jesus said? He said, when you pray, pray after this manner. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. You know, and you go through that prayer. Hey, there is a connection there to thankfulness. God, thank you for who you are and what you do for us. And when we ask you, these are the things that you're doing for. Thank you for being God. Amen. Sometimes we forget that. We forget to have a little time of adoration, a little time of thanksgiving, a little time of appreciation for the things that God... Hey, God, can I tell you, thank you for hearing and answering my prayer. Thank you for hearing me yesterday. Thank you for providing. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for this and for that and the other. We're just thanking God sometimes. Amen? We should be thanking Him. And that's what Paul says here. He said, when you're praying about everything, then you should be praying about those things with an attitude of being thankful for God being able to do what He does. But not only that, it should be there, this thanksgiving that you do should be there in abundance. I mean, if you're going to pray about everything, you ought to be thankful about everything. You know, the Bible tells us that in everything that we are to give thanks. Didn't say thanks for everything, but it said in all things give thanks. Amen? What does that mean? That means you ought to look up and say, God, I don't understand what you're doing right now sometimes. I don't understand, but I sure do thank you. I just want to thank you for being God. I want to thank you for watching out over me and my, I don't get it all. I don't understand, but I sure do thank you for being God. Amen. That means you and I can go worship Him when there's things going on in our life we don't understand. God, I'm going to worship you. I ain't got what this direction is. I don't understand what this situation is. I don't have all the answers, but I sure do thank you that you're God and you're taking care of every bit of it right now. Amen. You ought to be thankful. You know what? When you was a kid, sometimes you didn't know why your mom and daddy done stuff they did. And you know what kind of answer they gave us, right? You ask them, well, why? Because I'm the daddy, that's why. Amen? Didn't y'all love that answer when they gave that? And you'd ask and say, well, can I do it? No. Well, why not? Because I said so. Well, that ain't no good answer. Well, let me just tell you, it is the right answer. You don't have to understand it. And can I tell you, a lot of times, God does stuff in that same vein, in that same way, because He's God. And you know what? You don't understand it. You're not going to understand it. You and I will never understand it. Can I tell you, if you look at the book of Job, you'll find out that that's what the whole book of Job is about. Job goes through some crazy stuff, right? Job is going through trials. Job is going through sickness. Job is going through loss. Job is going through, problems with him and his wife. I mean, there's all kinds of things that Job is going through. And you know what? He's like me and you. He's sitting there wondering why. Why am I having to do that? I mean, you read the book of Job, and Job's friends are no good. They're no help. They're telling me, you're a sinner. You need to repent. And Job knows where he stands with God. But you know, it finally comes down to the 38th chapter of the book of Job. And Job is wondering why and questioning and regretting the day he's born and all that kind of stuff, you know. And finally, in chapter number 38, God says, well, Job, here's the answer. Where were you when I created everything that is made? Where were you when I hung the stars in space? Where were you when I filled the oceans with water? Where were you when I turned the sun on? Where were you when I put everything in alignment in this universe? Where were you? In other words, can you tell me how to do and what to do? And can I tell you this tonight in this room? There's none of us that can tell God any of those things. And can I tell you, sometimes we'll never understand why God does things the way that He does. You just ain't going to get it. You'll never understand it. But you know what? What you have to do? You know what it talks about Job doing in the very first part of the book of Job? When all of his sons were gone, when all of his camels were gone, when all of his sheep were gone, when all of the houses of the children were gone, when all that was gone, it said, in these things Job charged not God foolishly, nor spake in a bad way about God. You know what he did? He just worshiped God. Why? Because God is still God no matter what goes on. You see these people. Well, if God's such a good God, why did, you know, a hurricane happen or a tornado, or why did these children get killed at this school? And I got you. Let me just tell you again, I ain't got it all figured out. I do not understand the ways and the plans and the things of God like I'd like to. But can I tell you this? Hey, I do know this. God's still good and He's still God. Amen. He's still in control. He's still in charge. And listen, we ought to just be thankful in those things. Be thankful. I mean, you know, you could say, well, it could be worse. It could be a different outcome. It could be a different situation. It could be, you know, 1,000 different things. Amen? But God's still in control, and He knows what He's doing. So we ought to have some thankfulness when we're praying. It ought to be our attitude. It should be there in abundance, and it should be there when you're looking at the things that are ahead of us. God, I don't know about tomorrow. Now, that little song that we sing sometimes, I don't know what lies ahead. I don't know what tomorrow, but I do know who holds tomorrow. In other words, I ain't got it figured out still. But I'm telling you, I know somebody that does. I'm simply trusting Him to lead me and take me through those times. David said in the 23rd Psalm, David writes the 23rd Psalm, and he said, the Lord's my shepherd. And when you get down there about verse number 40, and he talks about, He leadeth me through the valley of the shadow of death, and I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I don't know what I'm going to face there, but I know who's there with me, and He's got a plan, and He's going to see me through. And that's what you and I have to understand. In prayer, just be thankful. God, I thank You. Well, what about tomorrow, preacher? I thank God for tomorrow, and He'll take care of tomorrow when it gets here. Amen? He'll take care of tomorrow. You and I, we should be thankful as we look ahead in our connectedness to being thankful about the things God does. And you ought to be thankful in your prayer. You ought to pray with thanksgiving. God, I don't know what the answer is going to be tomorrow, but thank God it's going to be Your answer. Thank God it's going to be in Your hand. Boy, aren't you glad that God does that? Aren't you glad God does that with your salvation? Do you know that your salvation, when you come and trust Christ as Savior, it's out of your hands? You can't do anything more about it. You can trust Jesus, and you know what? He's taking care of my salvation, and I'm thankful for that, that it's not up to me and it's not up to you. Amen, because if it was, we'd be in a mess, okay? So we see that there's a connection to thankfulness. It is the idea that, you know, we've got to be thankful when praying. But look at this. Look at this. And we're going to talk about our confidence of peacefulness. Look in the next verse. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look in verse number 7. And that word "and" connects those two sentences. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We have a confidence when we don't have a ton of worrying about everything, but in everything we are praying. When you're praying, God's peace will come on the scene. There's a connection here to peacefulness after you pray. Listen what he says. He says, when you pray and you get peace, you ever heard anybody say that? That, well, I've been considering about what to do about this or that, you know, whatever it is. And you pray with it. And I've been there myself. You pray about it. And then all of a sudden, it's just like God comes in there and just settles it all. It's just like there's a calmness. There's a confidence. There is a peace that comes in, and you're sure this is the direction to go. And you know what happens then? Somebody in your family or somebody of your friends or somebody even at your church, well, I don't know if I'd do that or not. Listen, when God gives you the peace about doing things, and I'm talking about peace after you've prayed, then, hey, you'll know you're stepping in the right direction. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want you to understand this. There is a peacefulness that comes from this after you've prayed. And first of all, it will go beyond all of our earthly comprehension. I mean, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth what? He says, all understanding. The peace of God that passes, sometimes it don't sound right. Sometimes it don't look right. Sometimes it just seems like, wow, you're way out there in left field. But you know what you all do? Just trust God, and when he gives that peace, it passes our human understanding. I think I've told you all this story before. Brother Steve Cohen's uncle, one of his uncles, worked with my daddy. And they worked over at the old Lookout Oil Company over in Alton Park. And this was back probably in the 60s. And Daddy said that he knew Brother DeBerry. Brother Sanford DeBerry was his name. Brother DeBerry came into work one day and said he went around and told everybody. And Daddy said he come by and told me. He said, I'm quitting. And he said, all right, Brother DeBerry. He said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go pastor a church, and I'm taking it full time. He said, wow, where is it? He said, it's a little church down in Somerville, Georgia. And I don't know. They didn't make a whole lot of money back then. But he said, well, you know, I'll be praying for you. And he said some of them other guys, he told them, and they started laughing at him. They started making fun of him. They said, you'll starve to death, preacher. You'll die. You'll be back. You'll have to come and get this job again. You can't do that. They said, how much are they going to pay you? And I think at that time he said they were going to give him $125 a month to go pastor that church down in Somerville. But he said, I want y'all to know something. He said, God said, do it. And you know what? And my daddy even said, you know, he left a job that's paying a lot more than that. You know, he's paying a whole bunch more than that. He said, but if that's what God told him to do, you know what you do? Go do it. Amen? Just jump in there and go do it. So he did. And you know what? He waved goodbye to them fellas at Lookout Oil, and he ain't been back since. God fed him every day. God took care of him and his family. He had kids and little ones to take care of. But thank God, can I tell you, God's faithful. And that passed the understanding. It's beyond the comprehension of what anybody else would have thought was right. But God's been right there in the middle of it. Amen? Aren't you glad when you experience those times? People are saying, well, that ain't going to work. Well, thank God, let me tell you, I'm not begging you to make it work. I'm calling on heaven. I'm praying. And God gave peace, and he said, I can make it work. Amen. Wow, isn't that amazing how he does those things? But he's always done them, and God will always do them. Why? Because it certainly passes the understanding. It goes over the head, beyond the comprehension of everything that a man will think. The Bible said that spiritual things, the spiritual things of God, are not carnally discerned. You can't understand this. If you're an earthly-minded person, you won't get it. Amen? And I've even seen people in churches that say, well, I advise you against that. Well, let me just tell you, if God's for it and God's for us, who can be against us? Amen? So let me just tell you this. When you pray and God gives peace, it will certainly go beyond all of our human comprehension. But second of all, this peace, it goes beyond the human comprehension. But it also comes to a place where it guards your heart. Listen to what he said. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, he says, this peace shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see that? He said, it will keep. And that word keep, Old Testament, New Testament, whichever way you want to look at it, the word means to guard, to put a hedge or a wall or a boundary round about. God, when he gives you peace, he'll put a wall around your heart. I mean, your heart will be satisfied. When God comes in and he says, I'm going to take care of you, you've prayed about it. You've sought God. You've inquired. You've begged. You've pleaded. And God says, I've got the answer. And buddy, you know what? Sometimes it may not be right then in your face, but you know God's got it. You know God's got the answer. You know God's going to give the victory. You know what you do? You just say, thank God, and go on with the peace about it. You just say, man. And then he begins to guard your heart. Because you know what happens? Everybody starts trying to attack your heart. Oh, and your heart, what this means by your heart is your emotions and yourself, you know, the doubts and stuff that can creep in. But God begins to guard you against those. He puts up a barrier. He puts up a wall. He puts up a fence. He puts up something to guard your heart and to keep you from all of those things that the enemies would throw your way. I'm telling you, it's like your intellect, your mind will try to, that ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. And it'll come to your affections. Oh, you really don't want to do that. You'll be going against this, and you'll be hurting this. Listen, you just go ahead and follow God, and he'll take care of that. Now, don't you notice one last thing that he says? He says he will keep your heart and your minds through Christ Jesus. Let's look at our minds just for a minute. And I'm just telling you, he's going to guard your heart. But I'm telling you, he's also going to guide your mind. Because your mind, what goes on in your mind is the offspring of what's going on in your heart. Now your heart is that, as I say, that center of emotions and all of that kind of stuff. And brother, that will begin to affect, as I said, this old mind. But can I tell you something? When you get the peace of God, you just say, God, I need for you to guide my mind. I need for you to give me your direction, and I'll follow it. If you'll go back and look in the Old Testament, if you'll look at it. Now, Abraham has made up his mind that he's not going to stay with his father, Terah. He's not going to stay with him. And he's going to take his stuff and he's going to go. Well, where is he going? I want you to know what God told Abraham. God told Abraham to get your kids, get your family, or you get your servants and all your stuff. Get everything you got and go to a place that I will show thee of. You know what that means? Abraham had no idea where he was going. Abraham, God didn't say, okay, you're going to go over here to, you know, such and such a city and such and such. He didn't know that. And you know what he did? By faith, he just followed God. Why? Because God gave him the peace that was guarding his heart And then God gave him the peace that was guiding his mind in the direction that he should go. And I'm telling you, God will do the same thing for me and you tonight. When we pray earnestly, when we pray just intensely, when we pray as we ought to pray, and God begins to settle the dust, you'll look out there and you'll see, this is the path. And again, other people will tell, oh, I wouldn't do that. Well, that's good. Don't you do it. You let me do it. Amen? There's people, sometimes you get to preach and say, I wouldn't have said that. Well, God let me say it, and if he put it in my heart and let it run out my mouth, hey, I'm just telling you, if it's of God, it'll work. Amen? That's why you don't need to say it. Maybe I do. Or why sometimes you say things, or you help somebody, or you encourage, or you bless, or you give, or whatever you do, because God's in those things as far as guiding you in that direction. He'll keep your hearts and your minds. But I want you to notice the key to it is those last few words, through Christ Jesus. He does it through the Lord. It's not just willy-nilly. It's not just like your little fuzzy feeling. It's something that comes as a direction and a guidance that comes from the Lord. Amen? Aren't you glad that's what you can get when you pray? When you pray. Now, as I said, we've been talking about praying a whole lot on Wednesday nights, and we'll continue to do that. We'll talk about praying. But next time in this, we're going to get down to verse number 8, and we're going to be thinking about some things. Think on these things. So we're going to talk about these things that Paul mentions in that next little section. But he says that you're to be careful, anxious, or worried about no thing, but you are to pray about everything. And when you've prayed about everything, the peace of God comes on the scene to help me and you. Amen. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing a song, if you would. And if you're here tonight, you need some things or got some things that need prayer, got some praying that you need to do that God has laid upon you, or you just need to come and thank God for who he is and what he's done, hey, it'd be a good time for